Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Stephen St. John, Nate Buchady, who is a jack of all trades and master of none.
Boy, that is right.
The that Drake Jason right. Justice, who's got yelled at by Lebo through me, whatever. And Jarrett Sutton's in studio. It's March Madness. What up, Jay Sutt?
What's up, fellas? March Madness. What a first day. It's, Steven's just been smiling right since I saw him walking in the door.
Did you like this?
Very
this,
happy.
This meme I sent you, and then I sent it to JT Tiller. I mean, that made me laugh.
I think you sent me five or six memes,
I did.
Actually.
You sent me a bunch of memes. Did I get this one?
No. This is only for Mizzou fans.
Oh, good. I don't
want Mizzou
that.
People.
It's his Mizzou
it says,
chat.
I want you to put the word out there that we back up.
You sent that to JT? Is that right? Oh, man.
I ain't talked to him in like a year. I just sent him that, and he's laughing. Oh, I was having fun last night. I sent some to John Sumbold. I sent some to you.
I had to get you and John on that group chat during the game. That was well played.
That's right.
Needed to do that. Sorry, Nate. It was just a Mizzou conversation.
I figured
you wouldn't like it.
You didn't get this one. I don't know if we can say this one on the air. But just look at this is the one that Jarrett voted for. He liked that one.
That's fantastic.
that's kind of cool. But look at it though. Don't say too much.
There's a lot going on. There's a bus happening. I don't know.
A certain
the
kind
thing,
of bus.
I believe I deserve some credit because yesterday.
Oh, God. What are you going to say?
When the greatest three-point shooting team in the history of college basketball opened up 0-for-9 from beyond the arc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was tempted. I was really close. I was sitting by myself at a Pizzeria Uno in the middle of Western Denver.
getting sloshed.
Eastern Denver, I guess.
Were you drinking?
No, I didn't have a beer at that time. I did have one at the hotel at the airport bar, I told you. But at this point, no, I was sipping on a Diet Pepsi. And I had the phone out, and I was ready to text Steven, and my daughter's calling me now for some reason.
Answer.
Julia, I'm on the air.
I answered Susan's call here the other day.
Okay.
See what she wants.
All right.
That little girl might need you right now.
That's
you,
right.
You think this is more important? No, I can talk to Jarrett Sutton about this right now.
So,
he's going to tell
I had
a long
my phone
story.
Out, and I was ready to text Steven. How about that greatest three-point shooting team? That
let's see what this is about.
Mm-hmm. Do I know where mom is?
Oh boy, that's a problem.
Yeah.
She works. She's at her job. What's going? What do you need from her?
You got your daughter calling like, "Where's mom?" That could be.
Oh, you thought it was the weekend. Is everything okay? Do you need anything?
Right.
Okay. Is Mia there?
Send Lebo over there real quick if she needs something.
Not yet. She'll be there soon. Okay. All right, I'll see you at lunch, okay? Okay, I love you. Bye. She wanted to know where her mom was.
I want to also now.
Well, her mom is at work.
Okay.
Because today's Friday. She said, oh, yeah, it's Friday. She thought it was the weekend because it's been spring break.
It feels like it's the weekend with all this March Madness, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everything good? You got to go?
Yeah, so Marco's sister Mia has been watching the kids over spring break.
Right.
And she's going to bring the kids over to meet Mitch to hang out and watch a little bit of college basketball with us.
All right.
I got a solid maybe out of Jarrett. There's no way you're coming to see me, is there? You got things to do.
Let me ask you a question. Is that no, I have physical therapy at 1 o'clock. And you encourage me not to miss any appointments.
That's
for my
true.
Back.
Very important.
See me hobbling around here.
Very important.
But do I have time? Could I get a hot plate at 11? And
I think so. Yeah, that come by
good,
at 11.
Would that be a good meal to stick to my ribs before physical therapy?
Get yourself nice and
go in there and smell like a nice smoker.
Sweating.
You know what, though? Get yourself a pastrami sandwich for St. Patty's Day. They're house smoking the pastrami today.
Earlier on, Nate said it was the house stroked pastrami. That's what I want to order.
Hey,
I want to find out what that is.
However you like your pastrami.
It's extra juicy.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. So,
Mitch is at 95th and Mission, by the way. Be there from 11 to 1, and we'll have all kinds of giveaways. And
I want to go hit their spot at the airport, too.
Yeah.
Your picture's got me going now.
Nate, what he's doing here.
Uh-huh.
He's having fun with words. He's he's unwilling to give Mizzou any credit for their defense. He's just saying Utah State was overrated and can't really shoot. Okay. And so what I saw was a defensive adjustment. And Mizzou said, okay, you want to beat us with twos? Go ahead. But you ain't beating us with threes. Mm-hmm. All right. It ain't happening. Tell me what Dennis Gates did and what the game plan was, how they adjusted to what they were going to face with Utah State.
Yeah, they switched everything. And Dennis Gates has changed his defense a lot this year with the full court pressure and, you know, strictly man-to-man. Sometimes he puts Des Moines locked on and, you know, they top guard and Des Moines kind of chases shooters. And in this game, they switched everything, 1-5. And that was the right decision. You're right, Steven. They gave up a lot of points in the paint. And I thought Mizzou would win points in the paint. But the way Mizzou's game plan was they're going to give up twos. You know, I think Noah Carter got beat off the dribble a couple times because he's guarding, you know, quick point guard that can get off the dribble and get past him, but they'll live with that. They'll live with the twos. I thought every three Utah State shot in that first half was contested, and I think to contest a three, not fouling jump shooters, like it's something coaches work on all the time, of contesting threes, not landing, you know, in the landing space of a shooter. Des Moines Hodge is excellent at that. Another shout out to how Des Moines Hodge wasn't on an SEC list. I still don't understand. He had four steals yesterday. That's a whole other story, but the defense for Missouri was great. I thought rebounding wise, again, it's another area. They're going to give up some offensive rebounds, just part of it. That's what they do when they switch. This is something we did with Mike Anderson when we were a heavy, you know, pressure switching team. Sometimes you get hammered on the glass when you do that. But I think Coach Gates was going to live with that. The biggest key for me yesterday in the win, and I think it was a very, very difficult decision for Dennis Gates to make, he pulled DeAndre Golston out of that game. He also pulled Mohamed Diarra out of that game, and they never saw the floor again after they made a few mistakes. Well, first off, Mohamed Diarra, a little soft with the ball, and immediately Dennis Gates goes to Aiden Shaw. I thought that was the right decision. DeAndre Golston, he's been really good for this team at times. He's obviously hit some big shots yesterday, and we saw it a little bit in the SEC tournament where the ISO ball and, you know, dribbling, over dribbling, not moving the ball, and when he's got 9-10 shot attempts and Kobe Brown has three, that's not what you want from an analytics standpoint. That's the reason why Missouri has had such great offensive efficiency is Kobe Brown and Des Moines Hodge.
Golston 4-13, Brown 7-8, Hodge 8-14.
Yeah, and I mean, it just wasn't DeAndre Golston's day. He's still a very valuable part of this team, but I just thought it was a very difficult decision for Coach Gates to make, and it was the right decision because right when he pulled DeAndre Golston, everything changed. They got Kobe Brown, I mean, and Kobe got aggressive. That's the biggest thing. But Kobe got the ball. That was the biggest
12 straight points.
12 straight points.
Somebody texted me earlier today, a mutual friend of ours, and said that, and it's funny you're bringing this up, maybe he texted you too, but he said that he thought it was so smart when Gates kept Golston on the bench because Kobe and Hodge were lighting it up and there would not have been enough basketballs to go around if Golston was out there. Because, yeah. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
You got it. The ball was sticking
for sure.
Once he got it, he was like, "Okay, hero ball." And you kind of had to get him out of there to when it was just Brown and Hodge because there was a point that's Noah Carter hit some shots early, but in that second half, 12 straight points by Kobe Brown. The dunk, three threes, hit a free throw. He took the game over, and then Hodge put it away.
Yeah, Hodge put it away. Those two play off each other so well, and for Des Moines is just a true knockdown, you know, space three-point shooter. He's a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. He can't shoot off the dribble. But his ability to understand, like, flow of a game, time-score situation, understanding Kobe's got the hot hand, like, running off him off curls to get Kobe some space and some angles. There's just things Des Moines does without the ball that is so important. And Des Moines and Kobe, they're very unselfish guys. They have to be selfish. Sometimes, you know, I know Mizzou fans are like, man, Des Moines sometimes takes some bad shots. He has the green light at all times. Yeah, take him. He has the green light at all times. He's got extended range. Like, he changes the game offensively with his ability to shoot the ball. And, oh, by the way, he's great in transition. And he had a couple layups yesterday in transition.
Play the game, player.
So, and
I don't know, Jarrett. I don't know if I can handle this, man.
This is what I was expecting today. This is what I was expecting today. This is what I was wanting.
I'm not even thinking about the Princeton part of it. I'm just happy they.
I'm just saying they go beat Princeton tomorrow. This is going to be all week next week. Just to, like if you
didn't you miss this?
Actually, think about this. In all honesty, it's freaking awesome. You haven't been in this good of a mood in a long
years.
Yeah, so I was a sophomore.
Because I'll be honest with you, I stopped thinking about it, and I didn't even look it up, and I knew, like, I don't know who, Selena, I think she asked, she goes, how long has it been since Missouri won a tournament game? I said, I don't know, it's a long time.
Yep.
And I go, roughly around the time you were born.
Yeah.
And she goes, really? And I started thinking about it, I go,
2010.
It was right after she was an infant. She was a year old. But it's been that long, and you knew it in the back of your head, but I just didn't want to sit there and count out the years. The last one was 2010 against Clemson?
My sophomore year. We beat Clemson, and we were 10 that year.
And that was
that was with Zaire Taylor, JT, Keith, Justice Safford.
I can think about it now that it's over.
And then lost to West Virginia.
He's been, in a weird way, happier than when the Chiefs were going through the run in the playoffs. And here's why. Obviously, I know the Chiefs matter so much to you, but there's a little underlying stress there, right? Because there's these expectations of the Chiefs. So he's a little stressed out during the playoffs because he's worried about the games and everything. He's just so happy right now.
He's just out of nowhere.
You know, because he didn't
Did it feel like a playoff game yesterday?
It's out of nowhere. Yeah.
I have those same nerves going.
And also, because the last couple of years, the Sweet 16 seemed so far, and it still is to me right now, because they might lose to Princeton. Who knows? But I'm just the idea of the Sweet 16 seemed so far away, because just think about it. At this time last year, the program was like rock bottom, and they were firing a coach, and it was like, oh, who are they going to bring in? And then they bring in Dennis Gates, and still be like, I don't know. But I had enough people that knew were smart about basketball saying, hey, you know what? This guy's kind of a rock star.
Yeah.
And, you know, in coaching circles. And then I'll always give him credit. We have, now he's a regular guest, Blake Lovell, who covers SEC basketball. And this guy put on all these tweets, Mizzou fans, maybe you don't know who it is, but let me tell you, you got a guy that is going to take this program to the next level. He's a superstar in waiting as far as the coaching circles. And I'm like, let's go. And then everything he's done since that point has been spot on. And you tell me about the emotion, right? Of you could explain that better than Nate or I. When I felt good about them winning that game, and I never feel good about Mizzou winning games. I just, especially in the tournament.
Yeah,
I was like, I was driving home, and I had an upset stomach just about the idea of it. And I'm like, this, over my life, this has been a bad day for me. Mm-hmm. Just overall, Mizzou's first game in the tournament. And you think about, some of the bad losses that they've endured. Like, this overall, is for the most part, has been a bad day. And is this getting ready to be another bad day? But when, and I wanted Trey Gumillion to play. I know some people don't, I'm a Gumillion guy. I like this guy. And he made a commercial with a law firm, an NIL commercial. Have you seen that?
I haven't, no.
When they're saying, you could, win millions or go millions. I'm like, yes! I'm going to find
that.
That's
perfect.
Anyway. And so, but anyway, it was a game-time decision, right? I saw a video of him out there, and this is his last college game, and everyone knows he's going to be a coach, and he's been, even Dennis Gates, he's a future head coach, right?
Yep, yep.
And he's there in Dennis Gates here all the time. And so he's out there on the court working out. And you can tell he's doing everything he can to play because that might be his last college game. And then you see a video of him walking out to the bench, and he's almost in tears.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the rest of his team go up to him. They're like one by one. I guess they're telling him, we got you. This ain't going to be your last game. And I know that sounds kind of corny, but that's a big deal. Because they love him, and that he did everything he could to try to play, and he just couldn't, and he might be able to play on Saturday, which would be a big lift. But the emotion, I said, you know what? They're going to win this game.
Yeah. I think
for Trey Gumillion.
That was a good start to the day of just I think the team rallying around more, which I think is the identity of this team right now. You kind of heard it in the post game with Coach Gates. I mean, they've heard a lot of things. They feel slighted. Obviously, Trey is the heart and soul of that locker room, and this is a big piece of the puzzle of Dennis Gates in year one when he brought certain guys that he had with him from Cleveland State to build a culture, and that was such a big conversation that Coach Gates was talking about even last spring before they even got into their summer period of installs and workouts and those type of things. But with Trey, like, he's such a high IQ, like, he's going to be a coach at some point. He just has that type of mentality. It reminds me so much of Kim English when we were in college. Just, he sees things, he studies the game, he loves, I mean, it's in his DNA. Toughness, he brings that. He's really good without the ball too, and obviously he defends at a very high level. He was defensive player of the year before he got to Mizzou and playing in the SEC. So hopefully they can get him back. The thing for me, Stephen, yesterday, going into the game, I felt a much different confidence about this team, and they're probably not anywhere as talented as some of the other teams that have lost in the first round after my time, right? Florida State. Like, let's take Florida State with Konzo, kind of limping into the tournament. Oklahoma. With everything that took place with Xavier Pinson going into that game, I didn't feel all that confident going into that game. This team and this group, especially with how they played against Alabama, how they played against Tennessee in the SEC tournament, and how they played before they even got to the SEC tournament, they're playing some really good basketball. And Kobe Brown is a big part of that. Damon Hodge is a big part of that. But it's really everybody that has really bought into each other. They've had different guys step up, hit big shots. Nick Honor won a game against Mississippi State. That was a big win at the time there in late February. So it's just the story of this team keeps going and going. But it does come back for me with Dennis Gates. I still think what he's doing with this roster, and it's not slighting anybody. They have, an NBA player in Kobe Brown on their roster. Damoy Hodge is really helping himself out in terms of where he's going to play professionally, because he's been a legit three-point weapon, and he defends everywhere. That's a need. He's a little bit undersized. But this team, they're small. They have holes in areas of their game. They play a lot of guys. And Coach Gates has no problem in-game making an adjustment to put a freshman on the floor in Aiden Shaw and say, you know what? DeAndre's not doing it today. Muhammad Diarra is having a tough day. Let's change this right now, and let's see what we can get. We need Kobe Brown in space. We need Damoy coming off. We need to get our guys going, and immediately everything changed. Out of timeouts. I mean, we saw it in the SEC tournament. It felt like every ATO Dennis Gates hit every time. And yesterday, they get a wide-open curl dunk to Noah Carter, and they totally play off Utah State's defense and what they were showing that entire first half. And it was a timeout, and Coach Gates drew it up. That was a play that Missouri hadn't run in probably a month. And Noah Carter curls and gets a dunk out of it. Those are the things that are different with Dennis Gates and where this program is at. They're a 7 seed. They look at themselves as, we can beat anybody. So that's a great place to be. They're dangerous.
Play that. I found that commercial. You want to hear it?
So whether your case is worth thousands
or go millions,
Stickland & Stickland is the firm for you.
Beautiful.
It's a slam.
Beautiful.
It's a slam dunk. And then he,
yeah.
There's a lot there. So
there is. You mentioned that the out of timeout.
Yeah.
I feel like we've all seen Bill Self has been like the GOAT.
Yeah, absolutely.
At that.
Yep.
Dennis Gates is not far behind. I mean, I'm amazed at how many good looks Missouri gets out of on dead ball situations, especially coming out of timeouts. He draws up things. He's incredible at that. But I want to go back to what you talked about with the defense. And yes, I was so close to texting Steven, 0-for-9, greatest shooting team, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't do it because I knew
good.
If I
Thank
did,
you. Thank you for
they
would have
hit four
it.
In
exactly.
a row, and Steven would have like texted all kinds of profanities right. at me. So who did text that to you? Todd Lebo.
Nah. Yeah. Well, he don't care. He
Todd Lebo texted him. But in all seriousness about that, what I thought was impressive was the discipline to stick with it. Mm-hmm. Not just by him, but by the team as well. Because, like, if you play basketball in your life, you can tell yourself, all right, I'm going to make this guy beat me with his left hand. But then if he beats you with his left hand, then you kind of readjust. And just because instinctively you don't want to you don't want somebody to take it to the rack on you and score, right?
Right.
So you play a little more honestly. But, like, the discipline of, because that's what they always say that Bill Belichick's so good at. He's going to make you beat him. with what you, like with something other than your primary, whatever you are really good at, you're going to have to beat me some other way than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to do it again and again and again. And Utah State was getting to the basket and scoring. And they were in the game. I mean, it was like right there around. I mean, it was like a one possession game as far as I remember for a long time. And Utah State was getting looks at the basket. A lot of teams could have, you know, overreacted to that,
mm-hmm.
or just reacted to it and changed the way they play defense. But they didn't do that. They okay, that's fine. Keep taking it to the basket and see if you can beat us that way today.
Yeah. So, Nate, I think your point's valid, but I still think it even draws back to Gates's substitution patterns. Because to me, Missouri, and this has been seen throughout the year, when they really struggle on offense and the ball sticks and they start taking some bad shots, they start playing bad in defensive transition and giving up layups. That's what they were doing in that first half. Once they settled into the half court, I thought their switches, when you switch 1 through 5, it's great in theory. But when you don't have guys that can move laterally and there's those mismatches, you can get exposed. So if you have switching defense, you have to be gap disciplined, meaning when the ball gets driven right or left, your help has to be there.
Right.
Right? Noah Carter has to know, I might get beat. That's okay. I got to pressure the ball. I can't give up a three. But if I'm going to get beat, I got to know my second line's behind me.
Yeah.
And then it's a total handoff. It's a total handoff. And then it's rotations. It's easier said than done because it's all about communication. It's all about trust. You have to have your hands active. You can't give up space to a great three-point shooting team. And they were terrific. They were going to give up drives. They were going to give up offensive rebounds. They were going to give up some size. That was okay with them. Their switches, for the most part, were fantastic. And I thought that one minor twitch that Coach Gates made, usually it's Nick Honor or Sean East guarding the ball right there at the point of attack. He went with Des Moines the last 5 minutes, and Des Moines was everywhere. He was guarding 1 through 3, 1 through 4, and just forcing a lot of different turnovers.
We got Jared Sutton in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Before we move away from Missouri, Princeton.
Yes.
What do you think of this matchup?
I mean, it's funny, just going into the Utah State matchup, I thought, man, I just saw Arizona play twice in Vegas. Was not all that impressed. They did take care of UCLA, but their guard play was so up and down, and their bigs, although they have bigs that can score it, they don't stretch the floor like a team that would, you know, hurt Missouri. Missouri's going to be with teams that can stretch it and have five guys on the floor can shoot. That's when Missouri struggles defensively. But the fact it's Princeton, I think it's a fun matchup. Again, Princeton is, like you would think, very disciplined. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They can shoot it. Their ball movement's very good. They're very strategic with their cutting and screening and off-ball movement. Again, I think it comes back to Kobe Brown. You're the best player on the floor. Be aggressive. You know, he is such a team-oriented guy. But when he is that spin he had yesterday where he faced up. He was kind of went between his legs a couple times. One dribble left, back to the bat, and then spun off and went around the rim for a dunk. I mean, that's big time. I mean, that is a Kobe Brown, nobody can guard. Like, and sees where the double's coming from, and he's going to be doubled. But Kobe can pass out of the double. I mean, it's just such an important piece of this game and moving forward for Missouri, because when Kobe's aggressive, that means he's drawing a lot of attention and getting the ball out. You're getting shooters more opportunities. The ball can't stick like it did in the Alabama game, like it did at some points in the first half. That's not all on DeAndre Golston. It's not. But if we're going to isolate players, Kobe Brown's got to be the guy, because I think Kobe can really be aggressive and get downhill. Foul counts, I think, are going to be important in this game. Missouri cannot pick up cheap, reaching, charging over guys in transition. They got to be smart. I think that's another, I hate to go back to, like, you know, raving about Dennis Gates, because it's just so true. How about him putting Kobe Brown back in the game in the first half with 2 fouls? You know, he thought, wait a second, this is an NCAA tournament game. Kobe's got 2. We have no flow on offense. We can't get Des Moines a shot because they're going to double him and they're going to make other guys. This is what they did in the Alabama game. This is why Alabama closed, was they doubled Kobe. Kobe gave the ball up. Mohamed Diarra shot a couple wide open shots, and he's wide open for a reason. I appreciate that Dennis Gates puts guys on the floor that are in the right spot. It's a big part of this game. Princeton's tough. They are. I was really impressed with how they played against Arizona. They were a team that they got down, they fought back, and found a way to win. That's what Missouri's done a lot, and the magic number is 70. When Missouri gets to 70, even in close games, I trust Missouri. When, Stephen, when would you have said, like, man, Missouri in a close game, they're gonna pull this out? They've done that for much of the year, is pulling out close games, whether it's a 5-point margin, 6-point margin, Missouri finds a way. And over the month of February, they've had games where they've been down and had to come back. They fight, they scrap. They're a tough team that believes in each other. They're not going to quit. They're not going to go away. Princeton's going to be the same way. It's going to be a fun matchup. I like Missouri in this game. It's a great opportunity for them to get to the Sweet 16. And, man, how fun that would be to get Mizzou back to the Sweet 16.
All right, Nate. Kansas, they beat Howard. Now they get to take on Arkansas. What questions do you have for this man who's seen it all twice?
So
sometimes,
quick,
sometimes three times.
But before we get into those questions, I wanted to swap an idea with Jarrett here, because you use a phrase about Kobe Brown being more selfish.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and it's a phrase that gets used all the time. So I'm not picking on you for using that phrase, but it's one that I don't like, because
watch your mouth
as a guy who I was the stereotypical guy who thought he should have been the first option on the floor, but probably should have been the fifth, so
right.
Shot way more often. I was the one that would get pulled by the coach because I'm shooting, and it's like, no, we want the good players to shoot, not you. But it's actually selfish for a guy like Kobe Brown to not take over the game when he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because selfish means you're putting your goals over the team's. And, you know, being selfless, Steven actually did a great job of teaching me about how he would talk to his kids about this as youth basketball players. Your only focus when you play a team sport, your only question should be, what does the team need from me right now? What does the team need from me? For some guys, it might be pass the ball to the guys that can score. Sometimes it might be play lockdown defense or set a great screen. But for some guys on the court, during a certain situation in the game, it is, assert yourself on the game right now. You need to take over. The team's not scoring. They're in trouble. And you're the guy to do it. And if you don't do it, you're being selfish, because that's what the team needs from you right now.
Yep.
And that transitions to what I do want to say about Kansas, because I'm very worried about this game. I think this is a very tough game for KU. The thing, if Kansas is going to be great in this tournament, it all starts with Jalen Wilson. And it's obvious to say he's a first-team All-American type player. But the thing that has amazed me about him this year is he seems to have as good of a sense of any player I've seen at Kansas for when that time is. When does the team need me to step up and carry the load for a while versus when is it time for me to just play the game? I'm trying to think of who else was so great at that. Ochai was a first-team All-American, but the game kind of came to Ochai.
Yep. But even he had to be,
he had to become more aggressive. Like,
for sure.
Coach had to really coax that out of him.
Mm-hmm.
They had to coax that out of him. Frank Mason always had to be that guy. Like, he was the player of the year because he had to carry the team every game all the time.
Yep.
Wilson's got guys like Grady Dick out there that can play and other guys that can score, but I don't know. He just seems to understand what the game needs from him almost at all times. And I'm curious, like, when you watch him as a scout, where, you know, that skill level stands out. Like, what is that? How much does that matter to you as you evaluate him at the next level?
So it's the evolution of Jalen Wilson. For me, it goes back to when he was in high school. When he set foot on Kansas's campus, I remember the first time I saw him in a Kansas uniform in practice. They were talking about redshirting him. He had a great practice. Like, you could tell he was in a place where there was more to come. He had significant upside, but he was very strong. And when he stepped on the floor, it was, I'm going to play as hard as I possibly can. I'm going to try to defend everywhere. I'm going to be physical and rebound. All the things that Bill Self really wants to identify in a freshman, right? Like, especially in those October practices when Coach Self is really on the freshman, and because he's going to let his leaders lead and the upperclassmen carry practices. I've seen him with Devontae Graham back in the day, Frank Mason, you know, all these guys that stick around, Ochai last year, big part of that. But Jalen this year, for me, it was also going back to last year when he had to play a role and he embraced that role, and he was comfortable in that role. He was a little bit inconsistent when he came back, but he was critical in Kansas winning a national championship. There was things not showing up in a stat sheet that Jalen Wilson was doing that helped them get over the hump last year winning a national championship. I saw him in Chicago at the NBA Draft Combine. That's when I thought, wait a second, there's another level for Jalen Wilson to get to. Because at the G League Elite Camp, he was so aggressive, playing with the ball in his hands, shooting threes, downhill, attacking, like, you know, playing with physicality, shooting a mid-range pull-up, like all these different passing, like showing some playmaking ability at the G League Elite Camp. And you thought, man, all these guys that are in this arena right now are seeing this and going, he didn't do that at Kansas because he was playing his role. Like, he was mm-hmm. doing what the team needed, to your point. Mm-hmm. This year, him coming back, clearly him and Coach Self had the conversation of, now you're the guy. And this is what Coach Self does. It's one of the greatest things that he does at Kansas that some other Blue Bloods don't do, by the way. And it's like, this is your team. You're ready to go. And sometimes guys struggle with that.
Yes.
Because they don't – we've seen it all – we've seen it at the NBA level. Some guys don't want to be the guy. They don't want to be the one option or the two option. They just want to have everybody play together, play with confidence. They want to get other guys going. I agree with you that Jalen has found a balance of being, I gotta go score, I gotta go play in transition, I gotta go rebound. If I'm not making shots and Grady's got the hot hand, I gotta rebound the ball because we're undersized. You know, maybe KJ's in foul trouble or something. Like, he knows how to do different things on the floor that don't just involve scoring.
Yeah,
and
that's
what a great leader does. I think it rubs off on DeJuan because DeJuan's an excellent leader, and DeJuan is one of the more unselfish guys. Same thing. They want him to be a little bit more selfish sometimes. But DeJuan is the guy that, like, from a playmaking standpoint and a lead guard standpoint, he knows Jalen Wilson's the guy. That, to me, is what makes Kansas such a special group. And, yeah, they don't have the depth that they've had in years past. Yeah, they don't have the size. But they're still such a dangerous team because of DeJuan and Jalen. And, oh, by the way, Grady Dick for a freshman. Come on, man. Like, yesterday...
He can every statistical category.
I mean, unbelievable. And just the efficiency.
Yeah.
Not shooting a bunch of shots. Like, taking the right shots. Scrappy, on the floor. If he's not getting a rebound, he's getting a deflection. You know, like, all these little things that Grady Dick does as a freshman. And, oh, by the way, goes back to October. It goes back to practice when Grady was getting challenged day in and day out from Coach Self to defend, to guard. Jalen Wilson being vocal in practice, like knowing he's the guy and guys are going to look to him. It's amazing how this Kansas team, every October, November, they are going through the building of the group that make them what they are in March. And that's what a great program does. And it's why Bill Self's the best coach in America. It's not just the X's and O's, Nate. It's the motivational tactics, the being like communicating with guys, having trust with everybody up and down the roster. Everybody embraces their role, and they also look to the guys that can be those guys that are the most aggressive players, that have to be those guys night in and night out. And you better believe a lot of those rotational guys challenge Jalen Wilson, say, yo man, you're the guy, like, go be aggressive. And you know, DeJuan's probably said that multiple times to Jalen Wilson. That's great trust, that's great communication, and that's something Jalen probably values, and it's a testament to why he's an All-American. He was this way in high school, by the way, too. This is what Jalen was in high school. He was all about the team. He was all about winning. He didn't care, you know, if he was the best player on the floor most nights, night in, night out in high school. But he wanted everybody else to be involved, and he wanted everybody else to feel that confidence. Steph Curry says this. Klay Thompson says this. Steph said it on a podcast like a month ago. We don't win championships. Yes, he gets a lot of the praise. He's the greatest shooter of all time. They don't win championships like back in the day with Sean Livingston and those guys that were on that second line that used to come in off the bench. They won championships because of the team. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody embracing the role and that confidence. And and so your stars just have to be that day in, day out, practice games, the whole bit. And Jalen's been that way.
We'll be right back after this on WHB. All right, we got about 3 minutes here. Let's wrap up and get your thoughts on K-State and Montana State, and potentially the matchup against Kentucky or Providence. How do you feel about K-State's chances to get through that and end up in the Sweet 16?
So I like K-State in their opening round game. I actually think the side of the bracket that they are on bodes really well for them to get out of the first weekend. Obviously, it'll come down to Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson setting the tone. We've talked about it with Mizzou and Kansas. You know, your top guys got to play well. Those two guys have to set the tone. For Marquise, it's the defensive side, too. You know, he's got such quick hands. He can force turnovers. He's got to set the tone for their defense. K-State's got good length. They need their role players to continue to give them great minutes. You know, hopefully, I think Naquan Tomlin can be a real factor for this team. You know, 6'10", long, versatile, makes shots, dunks balls. Like, he's got to be really good rebounding the ball as well. David Nageson has to play huge, and not just in this first-round game, but I'm looking ahead. I do think K-State will get by in their first-round game. For me, it's Providence-Kentucky, which I think is a fantastic game with Providence-Kentucky. I think it's a pick 'em really, for those two teams. I would give the edge to Kentucky to get out of that. Then that's a fun one with Kentucky because I don't think Kentucky is great. They are very talented. Tshiebwe is a load. They would have to match his strength. But sometimes Kentucky can fall in love of just forcing the ball to him where they look really – they can struggle. But Kaysen Wallace is a really elite freshman guard. And they're getting better play from another freshman, Chris Livingston, who's a 6'8 shooter, small forward, like shooting guard. That size and athleticism that Kentucky has could be a factor in that game. But I don't think there's any thought that I have that, you know, Kansas State can't get out of this first weekend. I think everything's in front of them. I think they can compete and win their first opening round game tonight and then look forward to, if it's Providence or Kentucky, you know, I think Providence can give K-State a serious game. But I like K-State to get out of the first round, and hopefully they can put a game together, play their brand of ball, and get past Kentucky or Providence.
Kansas or Arkansas?
I'm going to go with Kansas. And look, it's so tough, right? Musselman 7-2 at Arkansas in the tournament. We'll see what happens. You know, Coach Self, first off, I'm thinking of him and just hoping he continues to get better and stronger. Jalen Wilson, DeJuan, Grady were so good yesterday. I think Norm Roberts is doing such a great job, by the way. He has to get more credit of what he's doing with this team. I like Kansas. The transition game is going to be big. Yes, Nick Smith is back. Yes, Anthony Black is back. Ricky Council is kind of the X factor. And then Kamani Johnson-Garden, Jalen Wilson is the matchup. I think Jalen can you know, play a game that Jalen Wilson's capable of playing, and I like Kansas getting out of this game.
Mizzou or Princeton?
Mizzou. Let's go. Sweet 16, baby.
Everyone have a great weekend. Go see Nate Bucati and meet Mitch.
95th
right now.
And Mission.
Reminded me, picked Utah State. Everyone have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.